This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala abdillahi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. SubhanAllah, I'm looking today as very few people came on time. Inshallah on YouTube there's some people came on time. But very few people came on time. Before we start, can I get confirmation that the stream is working? And the best way to do that is if the sister side, can you just... You may not be able to actually. What I will do is, instead of that, let me just confirm it here. I can confirm it myself. Because I don't want to have audio problems like we had last time. For the sisters, yeah, just the normal room, inshallah. Let's have a look. Yeah, it's working fine. Seems to be working fine to me. Okay. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala abdillahi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I thought today we might take a different topic. I thought it might be nice to change things a little bit. And today I would like to talk about the Quran. I would like to talk about the Quran and about us and the Quran and about what you know about the Quran. So today is all about the Quran. We have, yeah, the niqab is for the other side, not for us. Take your niqab off, brother. Okay, good. No covering the face for the boys. Jazakumullah khairan. Okay, so it seems like the connection is working well. And as I said, the class, inshaAllah ta'ala, we are talking about the Quran. Okay, let's start with a little bit of general knowledge about the Quran itself. Who can tell me something you know about the Quran from the boy side first, then I'm going to listen to the girl side as well. From the boy side, go ahead. It's a book. Allah describes it as a book. Very good. Very good. Allah describes it as a book. Okay. But Allah spoke it. So why is it described as a book? It wasn't in book form when the Prophet ﷺ died. So you can't give me that answer that it's like that book on the shelf. It wasn't like that when he died. Abu Bakr brought it together into between two pages. So if it wasn't like that when the Prophet ﷺ died, why is it called a book? Because you read it, okay. That could be true. That's not bad. That's not a bad answer. Any of the other boys got any idea? Why is the Quran called a book? Simple question. Mubin, you having a plan? You got a plan? Got an answer? There's only one Quran. Okay. Very good. Yes. Sorry? It has pages. Okay. So actually, the word book or kitab is called a kitab for two reasons. The first reason is because it gathers things together. It's like bringing everything together in one place, right? So if I ask you, bring me a book there, you don't need to, you know, one side to the room to the other. It's all in one place. That's a book, right? So the Quran gathers all of it together in one place. Okay? Good so far? And also it's written. Al-kitab, huwa ma yuktab. It's that which is written down. So the Quran was written. Yes, it wasn't in a book form in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't in actual physical book, but it was written down. It was maktub, and that's why it's called a kitab. What does Allah say about this kitab? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. This is the book, there is no doubt in it. From the girl side, just briefly, maybe just to give us a quick answer, the Quran is a book that has no doubt in it. What does that mean? Very good, no contradictions, and it clears up other people's doubts. So even the doubts people had, let's give an example of those doubts. People argued about things in the previous religion. They argued about the people of the cave. They argued about Isa alayhi salam. They argued about whether he said that he was a prophet or did he say that he was the son of God. They argued about it before Islam, right? And the Quran came and it cleared up those doubts. It cleared up those doubts. And Allah says that this Quran, يَقُصُّ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. This Quran tells the children of Israel the things they used to disagree about. Most of the things they used to disagree about, this Quran tells them about it. Very good. The Quran tells them about this. Excellent. The Quran is free of contradictions. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it was from someone else, not Allah, it would have had a lot of differences and a lot of contradictions in it. Okay, what else do we know about the Quran apart from the fact, as the brother rightly said, that it is a kitab, it's a book? What else do we know about the Quran from the girl side? Okay, that's a pretty complicated second thing to mention, but okay, it's also true. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment. Okay, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that before the end of time, the Quran will go back where it came. Where did the Quran come from? The girl said, from Allah. Minhu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud. It came from him and it's going to go back to him. And it's the last book, okay? We'll give the boys a chance now. It's the last book. There's no other revelation coming after that. Who was this book given to? Who was this book given to? To the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Was it given to him in one go, or was it given to him in pieces? What do the girls think? In pieces. Okay. وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ. This Quran, we split it into pieces and you read it to the people over time. Meaning the first ayah, what was the first ayah, boys? Who knows the first ayah of the Quran? Not the first ayah in the Mus'haf, the first ayah that was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, Muhammad. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq, iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. This was given to the Prophet ﷺ when? Not the year, or I don't need the year, but just roughly when was it given to the Prophet ﷺ?
400 years ago.
Okay, not in years ago, but what was going on when it was given to him, like in his life or in, when was it given to him? People were worshipping statues. So he's given it at the beginning of his prophethood, right? When Jibreel squeezed him, and Jibreel squeezed him so tight that he got suffocated, he couldn't breathe. And he Jibreel said to him, what? Iqra, read. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Ma ana biqari, I can't read. He said, Iqra. He said, read. And he squeezed him. He said, "Ma ana biqari, I can't read." Until he recited to him the words of Allah, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," and so on. Okay, so the Quran started with Iqra. When the Prophet ﷺ first became a prophet, when did it finish? Was it a year or 5 years? Girls, what do you think? 10 years? 100 years? When did it finish, girls? Girls, the sisters this time are in the sisters' room, not upstairs. So I think there might be one or two people. You have to catch them as they go upstairs and send them to the sister's side. Yes, what were you saying? Sorry. Now that's not precise. 10 or 20 years. Exactly how many years until the end, the last ayah of the Quran was revealed? How long did the Prophet ﷺ live as a prophet? He lived 13 years in Mecca and 62 or 63 years. 63 years is the normal, if we are being like any most, the one that most people know. To be simple, 63 years, meaning 23 years as a prophet, give or take. 23 years as a prophet. Okay? 23 years as a prophet, that means the last ayah of the Quran came around 23 years after the first one. So over 23 or 22 to 23 years, these ayat were coming down to the Prophet ﷺ. Now, what order were they coming in? What order? Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, Surah Al-Nisa, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-A'raf, Al-Anfal, Al-Tawbah. Is that the order they came in? Girls, what do you think? The last ayah was Surah Al-Nas, right? The last ayah that came was Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. No, the girls say no. Why not? They came down according to the situation the people were in. There are some surahs that came down whole. The whole surah came down in one go, like Surah Al-An'am. The whole surah came in one go, beginning to end. And there are others that a piece came from the middle, and then one from the beginning, then another one from the end, then someone from the middle, then again from the beginning, then again from the end, then another surah, then from here and there. It came according to the situation. Many of the scholars, they said the last ayah to be revealed, or the last ayat to be revealed, came towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear a day when you will go back to Allah. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Then everyone will get what they have earned in this life, and they won't be oppressed. Many of them said this is the last ayah that came down to the Prophet ﷺ. That ayah, where is it? It's in the second surah. So the last ayah to come down is in the second surah. Is it at the end of the second surah? No, it's towards the end, but it's not the last ayah in the surah either. So it shows you that the Quran came according to what was happening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what was happening to the Sahaba. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would revise the Quran, and who did he revise the Quran with, boys? What do you think? Who did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam revise the Quran with? Muhammad, you're doing really well. I'm going to see if there's anyone else wants to answer the question. Doesn't look like it. It's yours. Go for it. With Jibreel alayhi salam. Does anyone know when from the girls he used to revise with Jibreel? In Ramadan, he used to revise. The Prophet ﷺ used to read the Quran in the prayer. And when he was reading the Quran in the prayer, the Sahaba learned from him the order of the Quran according to the Mus'haf. What's a Mus'haf, boys? Quran. The actual physical book copy of the Quran, right? Like the copies that we have in the masjid. The book, you know, the copy that you hold. We don't call it a Quran. Sometimes people call it like that. They say, give me a Quran. How many Qurans are there? There's only one Quran. The one that Jibreel brought to the Prophet ﷺ. You can't say to me, give me a Quran. You can say, give me the Quran. Because all of it, that's the Quran. And that's the Quran. And that's the Quran. And that's the Quran. That one, that one's also the Quran. And that's the Quran. But you could say, give me a Mus'haf. And give me a copy of the Quran, a printed copy. So they understood the order of the Mus'haf from the way the Prophet ﷺ used to read in the prayer, and they used to read to him. So they would read to him and he would listen to them, and they would listen to him reading the Quran, and they would understand the order of the Quran according to the Mus'haf, which is not the order that it came down in. Okay, what else do we know about the Quran? The girl said it came from Allah. It's the speech of Allah. So Allah spoke the Quran. Allah spoke the Quran. And Jibreel conveyed what Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited it to us and taught it to us. How many surahs are there in the Quran? Go on, Mubeen. 150? Not quite. Go on. 100 and? 68. Nope, you're closer, but you're not close. Yeah. 114. 114. I can't get it right, mashallah. 114 surahs. The first surah in the Mus'haf is Surah Al-Fatiha. And the last surah in the Mus'haf is surah number 114. And it is Surah An-Nas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Okay. Very good. Before I talk about the topics of some of the surahs, I want still to continue our discussion about what more you know about the Qur'an. So I think from we were onto the boys' side, we had heard from the girls a few things. From the boys' side, what more do you know about the Quran? Yes. You can tell me the answer to the question and then you can say something.
Each word in the Quran is a word of wisdom.
Each word in the Quran is a word of wisdom. I like that. Wallahi is a really nice point, a very nice point. I like that a lot, wallahi. Every word in the Quran has a reason for it. Every word in the Quran has knowledge that we have to learn from it. That's very true. Some of the surahs contain stories of the past. So let's talk, you've started me on a good topic. Let's talk about what does the Quran contain. Now I'm not talking about every individual ayah. Generally, what are the themes of the Quran? When you listen to the Quran, what kind of things is Allah telling you about? So Mubeen, you started us off, you said stories of the past. Okay? So we can say Qasas al-Umam al-Madiyah, the stories of the people who came before us, the prophets, the messengers, the people who disbelieved in them. Like for example, who do we find out about in the Quran? What like which previous nations, Mubeen, you made the point? Like what happened to Fir'aun, right? And Musa, for example. Okay, what else, girls, themes of the Quran? Mubeen said stories of the past, the previous nations. What do you think, girls? rules and regulations, halal and haram. Yeah, do this and don't do that. Okay, what's the first command in the whole Quran? Nope. Ah, now you went by chronology, not by the order of the Mus'haf. In the order of the Mus'haf, what is the first command Allah gave? I'm going to give the girls a chance. If they don't get it, I'm coming to you, Muhammad, okay? You don't have to give me in Arabic, even if you know in English. The first command, the first thing Allah said, do it. Close. If you said that's not the first command, but the meaning you got is right, but it's not the first command. So what is the first command? If you give me, what does Iyyaka na'budu mean? You alone, we? No. One of the brothers said, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. I said, this is not correct. But the topic is correct. The topic is correct. Go on, Muhammad, do you know? Tawheed. Okay, good. Give me just a little bit, one word I'm looking for. You alone, we worship. The first command, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. Worship your Lord. That's the first command in the whole Quran. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. The first command in the whole Quran is to worship Allah. What's the first prohibition? The first time Allah says don't do something. I'll give you part of al-ayah. I'll give you the beginning of the ayah. Not the beginning of the ayah. I'll give you the beginning of the bit I want. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا. Finish it for me. Same page. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. This is the first thing Allah told you not to do. Don't make partners with Allah while you know that only Allah deserves to be worshipped. So the first thing Allah told us in the whole, all of the Quran, the first time Allah told us to do something, it was to worship Allah. And the first time Allah told us not to do something is not to make a partner with Allah. Okay. So the girl said from their theme, they said commands and prohibitions. And Allah told you do things and don't do things. Do this, don't do this. Don't drink this, eat this. Give this, don't sit here, don't talk, don't. Yani, all of these commands that you get told. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand up in front of Allah and be silent. Don't sit with the people who make fun of the ayat of Allah. فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. Don't sit with them. Give the zakah. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. So Allah told you, do this and don't do that. Okay, what else, boys? Give me another theme of the Qur'an. Something that comes all the way throughout the Quran. So you told me about stories of the previous nations. The girl said halal and haram. Akram.
Predictions.
Telling about the future, yeah, like prophecies, yeah, like telling what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, definitely. Telling what's going to happen in the future. Okay, so give us an example. Do we have an example of something that Allah told us is going to happen in the future in the Quran? And Allah told it's going to happen in the future.
Day of judgment.
Day of judgment. Okay. Day of judgment. Excellent. The day of judgment. So Allah told us what will happen. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On the day when the people will stand in front of Allah, the Lord of the worlds. So Allah told us what will happen on that day. And it hasn't happened yet. So Allah told us what is going to happen. And signs of it. All of that is in the same topic. Girls, give me another theme. Close to the Day of Judgment, but not about future. There's a theme of the Quran. They all mention it when they talk about the themes of the Quran. They say the rules and regulations, halal and haram, the stories of the previous nations, and there's a major thing that we haven't, two major things we haven't spoken about. One of them is related to the Day of Judgment. What is the Day of Judgment? It's a day of, for some people, okay, a day of something for someone and something for someone else. Recompense. So in other words, rewards and punishments. That's a theme of the Quran, right? When you listen to the Quran, you hear what will be the rewards of the people who do good and what will be the punishments of the people who do bad. Can you give me one specific reward for something and one specific punishment? That's for the girls. No, I want one specific. I want you to tell me the Quran says, if you do this, you will get this. Allah said in the Quran, jaza'an wifaqa. Always you get exactly what you should be get, what you should deserve. I want a specific reward for something that's mentioned in the Quran. The Quran says, this specific action, and you're going to get this specific reward. Think of the surahs you know. Don't go try and get like thinking of surahs you don't know. Like try and keep it simple with the surahs you know. Girls, you got any idea? One specific reward or punishment. What about وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ الْحُطَمَةِ. So what's this? Is a punishment. It's a specific punishment for a specific thing. What's a punishment for? What's the topic of the surah? Backbiting. And the punishment is you'll be crushed in the fire of Jahannam. كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. They will be smashed and crushed inside of the pressure of Jahannam. Or backbiting. Good. What about one specific reward from the Quran voice? Give me one thing that you can say the Quran says, if you do this, you'll get this. Yes.
If you don't do anything bad in your life and you only do good things in your life, you might go to Jannah.
You would go to Jannah, but do you think that everyone, do you think anyone doesn't do bad things? Mm. Yeah, so all of us that, so that doesn't help us that much. I wanted one something specific. Like tell me one good deed in Islam and the Quran gives you this, says you get this reward.
Pray,
okay. And what's the reward? Jannah. Okay, good. I like that. That's good. You pray your prayers and you go to Jannah. Okay, so for example, can we give or pray your prayers and Allah will help you, for example. Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. If you pray your prayers and you're patient, Allah will be with you. Allah will help you. So you said Jannah, which is completely correct. Also, many times in the Quran, Allah tells us those people who pray, their prayers, they will be from the people of Jannah. Good. Yes. The first thing is, that's not from the Quran though. You got it off YouTube. MashaAllah. Yani, the hadith needs looking at. I don't remember the if it's authentic or not. The hadith about Alfa, Alfi Hasana. I remember the wording of the hadith, but I don't remember the authenticity. But definitely it's not taken from the Quran though. But it was a good try.
If you say La ilaha illallah before you die, you will be rewarded.
If you say La ilaha illallah before you die, you'll be rewarded Jannah. You're completely right, but now you're going to struggle. You can bring this from the Quran. You can. You could bring it from the Quran, but it's difficult. Like where you brought it from is a hadith from what the Prophet ﷺ said. To bring it from the Quran, you can quote from Surah Ibrahim, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, or the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا. And there are some ayat you could bring, but it's not easy to prove that from the Quran. You brought it from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay. Another theme of the Quran, guys. We missed the most important thing in the whole Quran. You didn't tell me yet. We did say worshipping Allah. We said that. But I wanted something about Allah. A theme of the Quran. Allah's names and attributes. Excellent. Hold that thought. I think it's time for the adhan. Is it time for the adhan? No, we don't. We start. Adhan. Hold that thought, huh? Allah's names and attributes, telling you about Allah, getting to know Allah. Yeah? This is a major theme of the Quran. Excellent. So we're going to stop for the adhan. We take a small pause for the adhan.
Allahu Akbar.
Okay, so what did we say? We said one of the main things you're going to find in the Quran is Allah tells you about Himself. Allah tells you about His names. Allah tells you about His attributes. Allah tells you what He does. Allah tells you about Himself. And this is one of the most important things that you can find in the Quran. It's Allah, when Allah tells you about Himself. Yes, Muhammad. to do with Tawheed? Yeah, mashallah. As we said, Allah tells us about His Tawheed. Allah tells us that He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. Excellent. Okay. Now I've got a new type of question. Two boys, behave. Ahmed and Muhammad. Okay. Now I've got a new question for you. I'm going to start with the girls. How should our relationship be with the Quran? How should we be towards the Quran? What are the different things we have to think about when it comes to us and the Quran? Okay, take it slowly. Is it moving up and down? Yusuf, have you got them moving up and down now? Yeah? I don't know what happened. It decided to mute itself. It's working. You can see from here. It's working, inshallah. So we're talking about our relationship with the Quran. For somehow reason, we lost the sound. We're talking about our relationship with the Quran. Yeah. And we said, when it comes to relationship with the Quran, respecting the Quran. The girl said, respecting the Quran. How do you respect the Quran? We said, respecting the Mus'haf. How do you respect the Mus'haf? We said, for example, not throwing it around, keeping your Mus'haf tidy, not scrunching the pages up, putting it in a respectful place, having wudu when you read it, not drawing or doodling on your Mus'haf, not writing on your Mus'haf. Yeah, this is how we show respect for the Mus'haf. We said we show respect for the Quran by not talking over it, by listening to it when it is being recited, and also we said by respecting what the Quran tells you to do. Okay, that's the first topic, which was the topic of, and I'm sorry we missed a little bit on YouTube, which was the topic of respecting the Quran. Yeah, how do we respect the Quran? The girl said, did you have some more points on that topic? What was your point? Not making fun of it and not complaining. That was the other one that we said. Not making fun of it and not complaining. We said making fun of Islam or making fun of the Quran takes you outside of the religion of Islam. Yes, Mubin, did you have a point?
Do you know how the Mus'haf is a copy of the
Quran? Yes.
So why do you
because it's a copy of the Quran. Like, so you show respect for it because it's a copy of the Quran and you're written down. If you disrespected it, then that would mean you disrespected the original, right? If you disrespect the copy, so you disrespect the original. Yeah? Yes, Nua. That's true. That means you're disrespecting Allah's speech. So we don't disrespect the Quran. Okay. The girls brought another point. Girls, you said another one after respect. What did you say? Practicing it. Okay, learning it was the first one. So let's talk about, guys, let's talk about learning the Quran. Learning the Quran. Okay? So when it comes to learning the Quran, there are different things we need to learn. What are some of the things, girls, that we need to learn when it comes to the Quran? No, think more general than that. Like, you have to, for example, learn how to recite it. You have to learn how to recite it. How to read it. What else? What it means, yeah, how to understand it. Yeah? Okay, so let's take those. The girl said you have to learn it. Pick you up, put you over there. Go on. Jazakallahu khairan. Anywhere you like, I'll let you choose. Barakallahu feek. I really appreciate it. But I need to see you. I don't want you hiding behind. So I want where I can see you. Yeah. Okay. So we said we have to learn the Quran. Right? We have to learn how to read it. We have to learn how to read it because what language is the Quran in? Only Arabic, right? What about the English translation over there? That's not Quran? Is it Quran or not? No, it is not. It is not Quran. The English copy you read is a translation of the meaning of the Quran. It's not the Quran. It's a translation of the meaning of the Quran. It's not the Quran. Quran is only in Arabic. You have to learn to read it. You have to learn to recite it properly. Yeah? The rules of reciting it. What do we call the rules of reciting the Quran? Tajweed, the girl said. Tajweed, yeah? How to recite the Quran nicely and properly. The different lengths of the letters. The different letters that should be pronounced with a pause. The letters that should be made longer and shorter. The different pronunciation of the letters. Yeah, so how to recite the Quran properly. What do we call, boys, the science which is learning to understand what the Quran means. What do we call that science? Understanding the meaning of the Quran. What do we call that science? Understanding the meaning of the Quran. What do we call it? Nobody knows what we call understanding the meaning of the Quran. Girls can answer, yeah. Tafsir. Tafsir. Understanding what does the Quran mean? What are the meanings? We have to learn how to take the rulings out. How to understand what to do and what to practice. And then the girl said we have to practice the Quran. So how do we, boys, question for you, how do we practice the Quran? What are the different things we practice? Yes, Mubin. Practice what we've learned. Like practice how to recite, how to, yeah, good. Muhammad. Revise what you know, excellent. What else? Practice, put it into practice in your life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said about him, "Kana khuluquhu al-Quran." He used to, his manners used to be the manners of the Quran. His manners used to be the manners of Quran. So when he used to speak and talk and walk and meet people and talk with people, and when he used to judge with people, and when people used to ask him things and he used to answer, and when he used to make decisions, everything he used to do it based on the Quran. How often do you think you should read the Quran? Girls. As much as you can, that's very vague, you know, like that's like a every Ramadan, maybe at least once a day. I agree. At least once every single day, you should read the Quran. At least once every single day. Okay. Is reading the same as revising and memorizing? Or is it different? Boys, what do you think? Okay. So memorizing is different from reading. You need to give some time to read and some time to memorize. Can I get a show of hands from the boys? And I'm going to ask the girls the same. So you're just going to tell me how many girls put up their hand. Can you tell me, those of you who have memorized more than half of Juz'u Amma, so more than Sabbih Isma Rabbikal A'la, who has memorized more than سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Okay. Three out of? So 3 out of 12 from the girls, and from the boys we have around about 5 out of, say, 20. Okay. So around about a quarter each time. So a quarter of you memorized the Sabbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la. How many of you have memorized all of Juz'u Amma? From Amma Yatasa'alun, from those few. From Amma Yatasa'alun to Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. Two also here, so smaller number. Very good. Okay, the others who haven't memorized, put your hands down. The others who haven't memorized up to there, how many of you have memorized up to Wadduha? We didn't get anyone else. Okay, how many of you have memorized up to Wal Asr? Innal insana lafi khusr. Apart from those who had already memorized the big amount. Yeah? Yeah. And what about those of you who have memorized Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil? Yeah, now we start to get a couple more hands. So most of you who are sitting in the class today have memorized less than 10 surahs of the Quran. Okay, up to Surah Al-Qadr. Most of you have memorized less than 10 surahs of the Quran in the class today. I don't know about YouTube, inshallah, it's different, but the people I'm looking at in my class today, more than half of you have memorized less than 10 surahs of the Quran. And that is not good enough. It's not good enough. I would say for the average Muslim who is not even interested in learning Islam, at least you should have memorized Juz Amma. That is a minimum for someone who is not even, and this is for the person who just wants to go and work in a factory and, you know, just be a regular person. At least you should have memorized 20 pages of the Quran. As for someone who says, I haven't even memorized 2 pages, then we need to do some work, guys, don't we? So we need to start our Quran classes, inshallah, in our masjid very soon, inshallah, because we need to improve a lot, okay? We need to get you guys memorizing more than 10 surahs, inshallah, going up to 10 pages, 20 pages, and onwards. Some of you who are here have memorized quite a lot. And some of you have memorized, I don't know, among the boys, we might have one maybe memorized 2-3 juz or more. I think among the girls, we have at least one who has memorized more than 5 ajza of the Quran. So we have like people who have done more than that. So that means you need to work really hard memorizing, and you need to work really hard on reading every day. Read yourself a little bit every day. How many of you honestly can't read the Quran easily and you struggle to read the Quran? Put your hand up if you struggle to read the Quran. It's okay. You get more reward if you struggle. Okay, so around about half. Yeah, around about a little bit less than half. Around half or a little bit less than half are struggling even to read. So that's got to be our first goal, to learn to read and to read a little bit of the Quran every single day, because that's what keeps you close to Allah, isn't it? You keep on reading the Quran, you get Allah's message to you, and you keep close to Allah that way. I think that's a good place for us to stop. Inshallah, we'll continue the topic of the Quran and tafsir and things like that next week, perhaps, inshallah. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal made easy for us to mention today, and Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Just wait for the